Dude,
check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski. Welcome to the Patriots Ross Report podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. Lots of news going around today, so it's a full house in here with Paul Perillo, Eric Scalvino, Mike Parenti, and Andy Hart. What's going on?
A lot of news. Why? What are you hearing?
I don't know. Not too much.
Something big happened this week?
Roster?
Oh.
Just a little
roster
thing.
Implications?
Right. For the first time since 1999, Paul Perillo, your first season here in New England.
That's correct.
Tom Brady not on the New England Patriots roster, was placed on injured reserve on Monday.
Well, at some point.
At some point. We didn't actually get an official release. No. But he's on injured reserve, is not on the 53-man roster.
What do you want me to tell you?
They made a silent swap, I'll call it, with Tom Brady going to IR and Kevin Faulks sliding onto the active roster after his one-week league suspension. Quickly, let me run down the other very minor moves in light of the Brady thing before we dig right into that. They released punter Reggie Hodges from the practice squad, signed quarterback Matt Gutierrez and punter Tom Malone to the practice squad, and released safety Mark Dillard from the practice squad. The only notable one there is obviously Gutierrez in light of the Brady move. But the big topic, Matt Cassel is the starting quarterback of these New England Patriots. Tim Rattay and Chris Sims were in the air to come to New England to potentially be a part of this Roster Report podcast, but were sent home without a physical, without a workout. Paul Perillo, bring it all together. What's going on at quarterback?
Well, it looks to me, according to NFL Network guru Adam Schefter, those guys were in, actually, first contacted on Saturday. And I think they were probably just kind of doing their due diligence, getting their emergency list together, and quite possibly thinking about an upgrade at the backup position down the road with Rattay and Sims. And I think, as the Patriots said, as Belichick said on Monday, the situation changed. They had to change in plans. And I think that's why they sent him home. Andy was, talking about it a lot this week on PFW in Progress, and I agree with him. I just don't think they want Matt Cassel to be looking over his shoulder for an experienced veteran that they signed. You know, before he even starts a game, they're already looking to replace him 2 or 3 weeks down the road once that new guy gets the system down. I don't think that does Cassel any good, and I think Belichick gave him a big vote of confidence, and certainly all his quotes this week would indicate that.
He did, but isn't it what Bill always says, we'll do what's in the best interest of the team?
Not one player?
Not what's in the best interest of Matt Cassel.
So but right now, that's in the best interest of the team.
He could make that argument.
Because
that it's the
Tim
best
Rattay
interest
or Chris
of the team.
Sims can't possibly be ready for a couple weeks to learn the offense, correct?
Correct.
So you have to have Matt Cassel play for a couple weeks.
And
so Matt Cassel's mental well-being is the best interest of the football team. That would be the logic.
The part
down
that I never
trot.
Bought, Eric, that I do think is right on board with what you just said. There was, you know, that move afloat from Peter King, and Fred talked about it a little bit this week, about that they changed their mind because the media got wind of the fact that Sims and Rattay were coming to Foxborough, and they don't like when the media knows their business, and they decided to throw a curveball. That I never bought from the start, and I've seen nothing to back that up since then. I know Fred had mentioned something that Adam Schefter wrote. I have looked at all of the stuff that Schefter wrote this week, and I had not seen anything mentioning that at all. I heard him on the radio with Dennis and Callahan locally here on WEEI, and again, he just said he thought it was more of a vote of confidence for Cassel and sort of backing him publicly, and that's the situation that changed. They were there for backups, and they don't necessarily want them looking over. I want Cassel looking over his shoulder. I believe that.
And Bill said that. I mean, he was asked, what does it say that you sent those two home? And he said, I don't know what else it
what
could
else
say.
It could
He's
say.
Our quarterback. You know, he took, I keep calling it the Lovie Smith line when he had Rex Grossman. He's our quarterback. You know, sometimes these guys that everyone else is questioning, the head coach has to put his full wave of support behind him. Mike Parenti, not so sure.
I'm just saying, if they're that worried about Matt Cassel's psyche, then they have bigger problems than what we are anticipating in the next
few
weeks.
Not if he gets off to a good start. Maybe that's what Bill's thinking.
But
maybe
it's pretty clear
it's
that
tenuous.
By sending him home, if that's the case, if that's the room that you think is true, then the littlest thing could rattle the kid. One bad game could send him down a spiral toward negativity.
That's just reality.
Just bringing in a guy for competition is going to make him flustered.
I'll give you an example, Michael.
I don't like that.
Back in 2001, you know, which is the situation that we're all recalling now with Brady out of the lineup. When Brady took over, and he played the first few games. Bledsoe was in street clothes and helping him out on the sideline. You know, he had the headsets on, talking to Charlie Weiss and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, what is it, 6, 7, 8 games, Andy? He got back in uniform, and that first week they were playing the Rams, if I recall, on the Sunday night game here at Foxborough. And Drew got some snaps as the second quarterback or, you know, something like that. And Brady's game wasn't the greatest. He didn't play particularly well. And then that's the week that Belichick came out strongly and definitively saying that Brady was my quarterback for the foreseeable future and that Bledsoe would not be getting the reps. Mm-hmm. And that was telling Brady, stop worrying about who else is behind you and who's here. It's your job. Go out and play. He responded with probably his best game that year, 4-touchdown or 3-touchdown effort against the Saints here at home. Mm-hmm. The following week was a terrific game for him. And, you know, obviously the rest is history. I just think that even when you have a lot of confidence, like Brady is a supremely confident athlete, he even was then, sometimes just to know that that coach, if you make one mistake or two mistakes, you're not coming out, that does wonders for your confidence.
Okay. Well, but Brady had already played a handful of games at that point, too, so there is a difference. And I also think if you come out and say, you're my quarterback, isn't that enough of a vote of confidence? If you're bringing in other guys, you can explain it by saying, listen, we're taking all preventative measures here. What's wrong with that?
We'd like three guys
on the
roster.
I don't see what's wrong. Yeah. I mean, having three quarterbacks on the roster is not unusual.
If they signed one of those guys, I wouldn't be sitting here saying, oh, that's a bad move by Belichick. That's obviously not showing any faith in Castle. I think that's just, you know, protecting yourself.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that Belichick looks at it as, that's what I have Gutierrez for. And Andy talked about the practice squad at the top of the podcast. There are three quarterbacks here. If something happens to somebody, there are three quarterbacks here and they'll get by. If they feel like they really are in dire straits and these guys just can't play, Gutierrez and Castle, and they need to go out and do something, then you can always go out and get somebody. I've been pretty consistent all since the summer. I don't think those guys are any major upgrade.
I don't either. Tim Brittain, Chris Sims,
I don't think there's any major upgrade there. So why rock the boat? Why not be able to stand there and show Castle that you are behind him?
Well, I agree with you on
Sims
on,
or Rattay over Gutierrez?
Well, the other name I'm hearing out there is Jeff Garcia, who is on the outs apparently in Tampa Bay.
Schefter said he could be had. Yeah.
So what about that? That would certainly be an upgrade over Rattay or Sims.
Well, in terms of talent, he'd be the better quarterback. You can't deny that. This guy's had success as a starter. Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure how much you'd have to give up to get him, and I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense.
Teach him the offense on the fly.
Trading
deadline is what, mid-October
sometime? October 16th or something like that.
But not necessarily to groom him to be a starter, but to have a more secure backup in the event that something happens to Castle.
Yeah, I just think you get back to they clearly want this to be Castle's team. And as Paul said with the Brady example, one of the most confident, borderline cocky athletes of our generation, Tom Brady, who ended up being one of the greatest leaders to ever play on a football field, Bill Belichick thought it was necessary early in his career to back him, to make an outward public maneuver to show the ultimate support in Brady. And let's be honest, Matt Castle is already on tenuous ground. We had a lot of people emailing our radio show during the week calling me, wanted to cut him this August. There's people that didn't want Castle. So if you put any quarterback not named Castle on the roster that anyone's ever heard of, and he struggles for a week, a quarter, they're going to be cheering for that other person because they did it with Tom Brady. Paul, I've told you this before. I was on the field that season when Tom Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe. Late in the season, as late as
the Oakland game.
The Oakland game in the snow, the game that made Tom Brady and built a Super Bowl dynasty, the chance for Drew Bledsoe and the signs for Drew Bledsoe were borderline deafening on that field. That's how these fans can be a little bit fickle. So I think Bill is accurate in maybe thinking that Matt Castle needs to be propped up a little here at this point in his career.
I agree.
Stunned silence from the crowd.
I agree.
And Matt Gutierrez could be on the active roster by Sunday. Bill Belichick clearly left the door open for that. Gutierrez was a popular guy in the locker room. Interestingly, the guy on the roster, third-round pick and set number two
Much
quarterback.
Much to your dismay.
Kevin O'Connell just walked through like it was me. No one even stopped him to talk to him.
He was really upset.
No one cares about
that.
Kevin O'Connell right now. They like the one and the three. The number two, who does number two work for? No one cares.
Just as an example of that Brady confidence, too, remember the story that Mr. Kraft tells all the time about his rookie year. This is before he had even taken over, and he said that he expected to take Drew's job. You know, he was here. He's going to be. I forget exactly the words.
That was more because he saw how Drew played.
He wanted to make. He wanted it to be the best pick that Kraft
I'm
had
gonna
ever
make,
made.
Something along those lines, Eric. I think you're right.
But that's the bottom line. heading into week two, the New York Jets at the Meadowlands. The Patriots, who are a huge favorite.
Stone Cold said so. Isn't that the bottom line? That's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so.
I believe you're
I
right.
I don't know what Paul's babbling about over there.
Oh, all of a sudden, Andy doesn't know anything about wrestling.
Yeah. Anyway, the Patriots head as an underdog to the Meadowlands to take on the Jets week two.
When was the last time that happened?
Matt Cassel, his first start since high school, a losing playoff game for his high school as he closed out his career, backed up Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart at USC, backed up Tom Brady here in New England, and now he's getting his chance to shine. And he learned one thing this August. From another backup turned star, Jeff Hostetler told him, and he took from a conversation with Jeff Hostetler of the New York Giants, you know, led them to a Super Bowl after an injury to Phil Sims. He learned what, Paul?
I don't know.
Matt Cassel learned that. Just because
I didn't read the transcript, sorry.
Just because you never heard of someone doesn't mean they can't do the job. Matt Cassel is ready to do the job this Sunday at Giants Stadium, the Meadowlands, New York. Back to Lori.
Thanks, guys. Keep checking Patriots.com for all the latest information. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.
End of message.